Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other, you got to listen to your heart.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 1 of Wednesday War Games. The Wednesday Night Wars are in full swing. Everybody hates each other. Everybody's fighting on national television, AEW against NXT, and this is the podcast that will cover it all. I assume the only podcast that will cover it all. If you listen to any others, they're actually not real. Joining me as my co-host, you didn't hear him in the intro episode because I cut him out of it like a horrible power grab. Liam Jones. Liam, how are you doing?
I'm doing healthy. And everyone will be able to tell how healthy I'm doing by my great voice that I have right now.
I'm basically, my sole aim on this episode is to make you laugh. And every time you laugh, you basically splutter your guts up. Which will make it a nightmare for me to edit, but it will make me laugh.
Once again, you're just going against yourself. You're at war with yourself.
This is it's the inner war games. The war games, the real war games where the friends lost along the way.
The war mind games.
I'm in the middle of a hurricane. Actually, no, it's not a hurricane anymore. It was downgraded to a tropical storm. It's called Tropical Storm Lorenzo, as I see the trees in my back garden slowly being blown away. So if I just disappear, just assume the tree fell on me or something.
I mean, I won't act on it. I was like, well, we tried.
It was a good effort. And if I don't upload this podcast, nobody will. So.
Oh, no.
Last night on USA Network, we had NXT. On TNT, we had AEW. Important to note, I am in Ireland, you're in Australia, so we both watched the Fight TV feed, which featured more content. So we saw, they did picture-in-picture for the commercial breaks on TNT, but we saw the full matches, Liam. We have a broader perspective than the American viewers.
Some would say we saw too much content.
You were getting mad during the show. Liam was DMing me. It's like, I hate having to watch them stand there waiting for the match to start.
It's immersion breaking. I don't want to see an entrance and then see the Bucks work the crowd for 10 minutes.
Well, in fact, Pac at least, he wandered the ring. You know, he did his get mad at fans at ringside routine, which is relatively entertaining.
He got those fans very, very upset.
Yes. Whereas, like, Nyla Rose and Rio just stood there for the 3 minutes of the ad break.
And then the announcers stopped commentating over the matches, like the last two of them.
I found it really interesting that they did actually call the matches through the break, which is, I didn't expect them to. And as you said, they stopped doing. But so yeah, we have NXT. What's your headline take before we get into each show? I flipped a coin. We'll cover AEW first, and then next week we'll cover NXT first. In the interest of equality, we'll flip them week to week. But we'll start with AEW this week. But what's your headline take?
Headline take is that for a company that promises or is trying to base itself on its in-ring product, AEW sure doesn't have a great in-ring product.
Yeah, I think that goes back to my headline take, which was I was surprised that AEW just put on what was a weekly television show and NXT was over there doing a mini takeover. And it was an interesting contrast in that it really felt like NXT swung bigger.
NXT definitely felt like they were more gotten to.
Because like they had two big returns. We'll get into all this when we're talking about the show. But they had two big returns in Finn Balor and Tommaso Ciampa. They had three title matches. Was it three? Yeah, three title matches.
Yeah, three.
Plus John Boy making his NXT USA debut. So like they went a lot big. Even in the wrestling, they went a lot bigger. And AEW just felt like they were over there doing what felt like their third television show as opposed to their first. It was interesting.
I actually thought that they were going to go even bigger. I assumed that the NXT show was going to have a NXT UK title match between Walter and Kushida. And I had also assumed that the Cruiserweight title match was going to be this week.
Which, both of those are next week. Is Kushida and Walter a title match?
It is non-title, as far as I remember.
And then it's Leo and Drew Gulak next week. I think the first half hour of AEW is tremendous. I thought like that whole presentation from Cody and Sammy, the opening, the video before that, their match, and then the Jericho beatdown. I thought, and they ran it all without a break. They went to a break during the Jericho beatdown, but that whole opening segment, I was like, this is a wrestling show on television, not a television wrestling show. And I love that distinction, because so many like wrestling shows on TV just get bogged down, and it's almost like it's a show about a show more than just a wrestling show that happens to be put on television. And this felt like it felt different.
It felt like an entirely unique viewing experience for a wrestling fan in 2020. Or 2019. I'm getting ahead of ourselves.
Well, it will be in 2020 in 3 months. It's close enough.
Or will it?
Well, yes. If the Wednesday Night War doesn't last 3 months, it won't be in 2020.
No. When Paul dominates...
I really like that. I like this opening match a lot. I like Cody and Sammy. I've railed against the idea, or no, I haven't railed against the idea of it. I railed against the execution of Elevation by Association. And WWE tried this a lot. You see it with Cedric Alexander lately, where they just put a guy in with a star and he loses. And like the headline idea is that when you put him in with a star and he loses and he gets a competitive match, he should be elevated. And it never happens there. And I feel like Sammy lost this match, but Sammy came out of this match better than he went in. Like they debuted on national television with Cody Rhodes, who's like at the moment the face of the company, at the moment kind of the ace of the company, rightfully so, a role he's so far earned. And Sammy Guevara, somebody who I think the average viewer had never heard of in their life. And I think Cody looked great, and Sammy came out of it looking better than he went in.
Well, the differentiating feature of that is there's no trust that WWE main roster, at least, will ever follow up on that attempt at making a star. Whereas even on this single show, we already saw them sort of following up on that attempt with the main event closing angle.
I was actually almost surprised to see Sammy involved in that. I didn't expect him to be like put in there with LAX with Chris Jericho.
Well, like in some ways, he kind of comes across as that group's Hangman Page.
Yeah.
But it may be too early to get on to that train.
And I like Sammy a lot. I think Sammy is charismatic and young, and his vlog is pretty good. It's not great.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of vlogs, but I do find myself watching the Sammy blog.
Is it all the shirtless thumbnails?
I mean, it helps.
That man is fond of his shirtless thumbnails, and I don't blame him. If I looked like Sammy Guevara...
I was going to say, if I could rock that shirtless butt, I would also make every single picture shirtless.
Yes, all of those shirtless thumbnails. But Cody feels like a superstar. I was talking
the
about
the goddamn
this.
Ace.
Yeah, he should just beat Jericho. Screw it. But I was talking about this on Twitter yesterday, in that I think Cody is the proof of concept of AEW. Cody's a guy who hit the mid-card ceiling in WWE, could never get to that main event level except like on very brief fleeting moments. And then he comes out here and he feels like a superstar. This audience thinks Cody Rhodes is the biggest star in the world.
The thought that came to my mind when I was watching his entrance is the crowd, like, I don't want to say mixing because it was just the actual crowd noise, but it felt like in the WWE 2K games where the crowd is so loud that you can no longer hear the music for the wrestler, but this was just, that's how over he was in this occasion.
And it's actually, it's strange to see in the show people who are actually over. Like, people who the crowd are, like, honestly responding to. Dustin Rhodes does a run-in at the very end of the show. And I'm like, I thought it was CM Punk coming out. Because I heard the crowd reaction first. It's like, oh god, someone really big and important is coming out. And like, not that Dustin Rhodes isn't big and important, but he got a level of reaction that you'd be like, it's this Dustin Rhodes is getting that reaction.
I mean, to go on the same level, Jack Swagger got one of the biggest reactions I've seen in years.
Yeah, that's one of the bit, like, Jack Swagger is... I'm torn on Jack Swagger. Because Jack Swagger, in theory, should be a phenomenal pro wrestler. Like, JR loves himself running down people's amateur wrestling credentials, and he did so here.
But, and his Bellator credentials.
Yes, he is the undefeated Bellator MMA superstar. Has he fought more than one fight?
I believe he's had two.
Well, that's like Lashley's undefeated MMA record.
As the MMA historian of the podcast, I can assure you it's two.
So, like, Jack Swagger, like, he should have been, I suppose, one of WWE's biggest stars of the last decade, I think, on paper. Even going back to ECW, when he debuted on WWE ECW, I really liked him a lot. And he's this big hoss guy who should be throwing people around, and he should be a badass. And it just never worked out for a variety of reasons, and I think some of which are on him. Because he never seemed like he had that fire in his belly to really make that work, that desire to go to that next level. And when he left WWE, he obviously didn't, because like you didn't hear a word about him. And he is the cliche WWE mid-card debuting in a main event spot on AEW. That's the Team 3D debuting at the end of the first Spike show on for frickin' TNA. Relatively similar. Or Kevin Nash, maybe, if you want. And I think, in theory, I don't like it. But in execution, as you said, he got a gigantic reaction.
I was super into it. And like, in the same way that you say you're torn, I'm also torn. Because on one hand, I'm really excited for an inspired Jack Hager run. And on the other hand, we were also all very excited for an inspired Jack Hager indie run. And those two things never managed to happen.
It's JK girl, have you know?
Oh, sorry. God, Lord forgive.
Please do. He said Jack Swagger is dead on Twitter. Please respect Jake Hager.
You mean at real Jack Swagger said Jack Swagger's dead?
yes, he did.
Hmm.
But yeah, in theory, that underlines like everything people didn't like about TNA, and rightfully so. Like, mid-card is coming into main event spots. But as you said, like, the idea of this guy finally being motivated on a big stage, and like in front of 14,000 people live on TNT, he should be motivated. There's no reason he shouldn't be. And he came in
and
he's getting a
semblance of a fairly good push. He's in there with the top dogs immediately.
Yeah, at the very least, he's Jericho's heavy, maybe a level above that. We'll see how that relationship works out. But like
that could all be on him.
Yeah, he could be Jericho as his lackey. Maybe Jake Hager is the AEW the sensation to lead them into the future.
You know what I'm really scared about though?
What are you scared about?
The possibility of at Full Gear us getting Jake Hager versus Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, they did set that up. He did hit him with a doctor bomb through a table.
It's funny because if you've watched that angle, because I've watched it a couple of times now, you'll see that Jake wanted to hit it on Cody, but Jericho kept telling him to do it on Dustin instead.
I was a bit worried that Dustin wouldn't be able to take the bump, but it looked fine. It actually looked nasty. The table just kind of, it didn't really give, so it looked like it hurt.
It was also a lot of fun to just hear Jericho shout "Swagger" in the middle of the ring.
In fairness, the announcers didn't slip, but they nearly did.
Hmm. And I just want to clarify, I have searched it up. My MMA historical accuracy is still 100%. He is 2-0 via submission in Bellator.
Well, we'll take it. That is undefeated. That's not a lie.
I wonder if he'll continue fighting for Bellator.
Well, Lashley did, and it never really interfered with his TNA stuff, so...
I'll keep everyone updated as my fledgling MMA fandom.
So then, like, Lashley, while he was fighting for Bellator, TNA would tape 4 months of TV every 4 months, I suppose.
We got the great American Top Team stuff, so.
Yeah, maybe he won't have time. AEW's a weekly show. I assume they'll have more shows than this, or than their weekly show. They might introduce house shows. They were talking about that. I don't think they should. But
well, it only took us, like, 10 minutes to get to TNA.
Hmm. I'm just going to relate everything back. I think I've related things back to TNA twice, so...
Oh, no. I'm slipping already.
Welcome to the Backdoor TNA podcast.
So, AEW, huh?
So, yeah, this opener. I like this opener a lot. I thought Cody looked phenomenal. I thought Sammy looked great. I thought the beatdown was real good. I think it was the best half hour of the show. I thought this first half hour of AEW was superb.
Yeah, it was really good, and I think... There were a lot of people on the Twitter who were criticizing the choice of putting Cody in that first spot. But I think as soon as you saw that crowd reaction, like, you shut all those people up. He could have gone out there and stunk up that match, which he didn't. He could have gone out there and stunk up that match, and that still would have been the right choice because it made AEW look like a top brand.
Yeah, and he's a superstar. Fair enough, you could have put Kenny there too, and Kenny would have gotten a great reaction. But Cody's a superstar. As it, I was going to make the point that he is basically he's the proof of concept that the difference between Cody Rhodes being a mid character in WWE and a main eventer in AEW is presentation. Like, he's not any better a wrestler. He's not any better a promo than he was then. The difference is he's being presented to his strengths. And that's the proof of concept of AEW, that if you present these wrestlers to their strengths, they will be stars on television. And we'll see how that works out with people other than Cody, but Cody is the proof of concept.
We'll see if Jake Hager becomes the biggest heel in the world at some point.
Yeah.
And we'll all be looking back at this like, wow, we were fools for even doubting the AEW star-making machine.
Like, legitimately, I think Jake Hager is the next big test. Like, we had Sean Spears, but I don't think Sean Spears was ever intended to be anything but, as Cody said, a good hand.
I really like that feud a lot, though.
It was a really good, solid story, but I don't think Sean Spears is going to be a guy they're going to really push, you know?
Imagine if Sean Spears joins Jericho's new stable.
Oh, good. With his weird eye things? Contacts?
And his cool green car that he has?
Stupid. MJF and Brandon Cutler had basically an MJF squash. MJF cut a promo and then beat him real quick. I think Cutler was supposed to miss a dive at the end of the match. It kind of fell off the ropes, but he covered for it well. He sold his knee and then MJF just beat him immediately.
I am sad because Brandon Cutler let down all D&D fans.
Yeah.
By losing to that big meanie MJF.
Proving D&D people are horrible nerds that can't win fights.
It's true. By all accounts.
I think this would have been better off just being a straight squash, but... Or not even a straight squash. Maybe just a promo. I think the match was almost superfluous.
I think this match really exemplified the differences between NXT and AEW to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on NXT, we see a lot of mid-card matches that have seemingly zero intention beyond just being a squash or just being there to fill up time. This was a squash match that went like 3 minutes and it had a very complex story going in. Not complex, but like a very good story going into it. And if we get more of that, where like each story has something to it, then this AEW will be very hard to beat.
And what was it, 2 weeks ago, Pete Dunne wrestled, what was his name? Arturo Ruas, is that his name?
For 50 minutes straight.
And yeah, that match is like the exact point you're making, whereas MJF came in, he beat him in, I think it was less than 3 minutes, in and out pretty quick. Whereas that match went on forever, and it's like it's supposed to be a Pete Dunne squash showcase, and he went 50-50 for what seemingly seemed like an hour with him. So like, I think that's a very good point, and I think we're going to talk about that a little more when we get to NXT, but... the worst segment on AEW this week, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes were interviewed at ringside, and it was not particularly good.
It wasn't particularly good, but also I didn't find myself yawning. I wasn't bored by it, and I was bored by other things on other shows.
It was 2 minutes. It was literally, they came down, they interviewed them about the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, which is out in a couple of weeks, and Jericho was in. Then interrupted by Jack Evans and Angelico, then Private Party came out. It's the plug of the tag team tournament at the end of the day, but...
Really, my only problem with this segment was that we didn't actually get to hear Private Party responding to Jack Evans and Angelico. Yeah. Like, if you're going to bring them out to be like this, hey, we're the cool guys taking away the celebrities, like, actually let them say something to, like, burn Jack Evans and Angelico or something, you know what I mean?
And... Kevin Smith. Actually, what if Kevin Smith is just the full-time manager of Private Party now? Cuts their promos for them.
Well, actually, they should. If anyway, did you see the Twitter segment with him and Janella?
No.
They had a fun little Twitter segment and where they played up the Clerks characters because Joey is from the same area or something. It's fun. Go check it out.
Much better tag title tournament hype. SCU came out, cut a fairly basic promo. Lucha Bros came out, got in their face, and they had a nice little pull apart. And I thought that's a nice little simple build to their tag title tournament match, which is their match next week. I know Young Bucks against Private Party is next week. I don't think their match is next week, is it?
I have no clue. I don't know when each tournament match is yet.
But yeah, we definitely have Young Bucks and Private Party next week. But yeah, that's a nice little segment to set up. And I think I like that they got the Lucha Bros onto this show.
I'm just happy that we're getting the bad influence combination of SCU in the tournament.
You're not a fan of any Scorpio Sky tag team combination?
I don't really mind Scorp. I just think, I don't know, almost like as a thank you to these two guys, I'm happy that they're in the tournament. So yeah, I'm really happy that we get the Addiction.
Please never call them that again. Is that still their name?
No, they're the SEU, now.
Yeah, but I like the idea that tag teams have names. SEU is a stable. It can't be a... It's my same problem with Undisputed Era. It's like the tag teams... The stables and tag teams should have different names.
Well, I believe that the stable is SoCal Uncensored, while the team is SCU.
I hate you.
I still call Red Dragon, so...
Do you make sure you emphasize the Davey Richards in the middle?
Red Dragon.
Davey returned recently, so let's see how long that lasts.
To have a fight with Tom Lawlor.
Yeah, they should do it. They should do a Bellator fight. Speaking of Bellator.
Let's put over Bellator some more.
Pac and Hangman Page had a good television match. They're finally having their Double or Nothing match. It wasn't great. It didn't go. Again, this is the weird difference between AEW and NXT, because I think Pac and Hangman Page could have a much better match. I think their match in Nottingham was a better match.
Yeah, whereas the UK match was way better.
Whereas this was just a perfect... This seemed more like we need to put Pac over Strong, even though I think Hangman Page had his best AEW showing to date, maybe? I guess the Jericho match. But I think Hangman Page did look real good here while he was on offense. But yeah, this just felt like we're going to put over Pac Strong.
Which, to be fair, I don't think is necessarily a bad decision. Pac is a star. Hangman has plenty of years before he needs to be a star.
In theory, we were meant to get a Jericho title match next week, weren't we?
Wait, what?
Didn't they promote that when they announced the TV date?
I'm not sure. I don't recall this at all.
Like they definitely said Jericho will be defending. Well, the AEW, it was even before there was a champion. They said the AEW title will be defended on, it was either this week or next week, or next week or the week after. And I'm wondering, like, I think the person they've naturally set up for that, if they haven't dropped it, which they might have dropped it, is Pac.
Well, naturally, you'd assume so.
With his current 2-0 record in All Elite Wrestling, with victories over Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. How do you feel about the win-loss records? They didn't really go into it in any way. Like, they mentioned them in passing. They're in the graphics on the entrances.
You were bringing them up, and I literally forgot that we had them.
Yeah, for I think there was a lot of hand-wringing about how they're going to use stats in weird ways, and they kind of didn't.
Yet.
Yeah, and even like I like the announcers a lot in the show. I thought Tony Schiavone is the missing link in the AEW announce team, apparently, because he's there to curse and keep JR in line. And I think I think of Golden Boy very highly, but I think this was the best AEW announce team showing. I was worried about it going into this TV show. I thought it was a big weakness of their pay-per-view so far. And here, I'd almost go as far as to say it was actively good. Liam disagrees.
I liked Tony and I liked Excalibur, but every time Jim Ross opens his mouth, it makes me cringe. Even when he's doing fine.
I don't think he did anything bad on this show.
It's not even... I think now perhaps I just associate his voice with badness because it's been drilled into my head, much like another announcer that we will get to on the next show.
We will get to. I spend most of my notes are just Mario quotes, so you can be excited for that when we get to NXT.
The commentary for both of these shows is going to be a rough watch for me.
I don't know. I liked AEW's team. I thought they did good.
They did good.
Hmm.
I thought that this Pac-Adam Page match was hurt by me watching it on Fight. I feel like if I didn't see... If the ad break bits were cut out, I would have enjoyed it more.
If you didn't see more, if you saw less of the match, you would have enjoyed it more?
Yes, and that may be an indictment to the match, but I don't know. I think it would have flowed better for me if I hadn't have seen the extended pack heat spots.
Yeah, they did a very traditional commercial break as opposed to the next match, which we'll talk about in a second, where they did a ton of stuff during the break. Pac and Hangman Page, the Pac just sat on him for, 3 minutes or whatever it was?
Yeah. I'd be curious to watch this show with the TNN. TNN? Is that what the network is? I don't know. American
TNT.
Stuff. TNT. If I would watch the TNT version, I wonder if I would like the show more.
Would you? Because they picture the ad breaks on TNT. Would you watch the corner box or would you just skip it?
Well, I can tell you right now, I didn't watch the NXT corner box.
All right. Pac won with a V-Rest stoppage again with the Brutalizer. So... They're really putting over the submission strong.
They were kind of delayed with the rail, with the bell ring.
Clearly, the AEW hired an amateur bell ringer. It's an amateur operation, Liam.
It's a t-shirt company. What are we even discussing a wrestling show for?
That's true. Dr. Britt Baker joined commentary, which I'm sure you were very excited. And you noticed for the whole time. Did you know, I'm not sure they've promoted this enough. It's a relatively obscure fact. Did you know she's a dentist?
Oh, well, it seems to be the most interesting fact about her.
I like they released the video on Twitter yesterday, which was like Darby Allin skateboarding, Cody looking all Cody businessman-like, and Britt Baker doing dentistry.
Is she still doing dentistry? Kind of makes the old roster placement look a little low rent if she still has her day job.
Hey, would you give up a lucrative dental practice? There's my first instance of getting Liam to cough to death. I'm looking forward to when she turns heel and her entire character is she just wants to punch people in the mouth, hurt their teeth, and drum up business for her dentistry practice.
Isaac Yankum DDS.
Yes.
She's going to have Jerry the King Lawler as her manager.
I hope he's too busy calling Monday Night Raw, so.
Oh, no.
Nyla Rose versus Rio for the AEW Women's Championship. Rio won the match, first ever AEW Women's Champion. I like this match a lot. In fact, I would go so far as to say I love this match. This match was great.
Was this your match of the night?
This was my match, but it was the best match on AEW. Probably not my match of the night. We'll get to that on NXT. I don't think Nyla Rose is all the way there as a monster yet. She doesn't own it. She doesn't have the conviction. She does, like, you can see there's not the purpose in her movement. And when you look at the AEW roster, you see Awesome Kong, who is not anymore, but in her prime was not just one of the best female monsters in wrestling history. She was the best one of the best monsters in wrestling history. Full stop. So just, like, get that mentorship going to teach Nyla Rose how to really have conviction in just killing people. But I liked this match a lot. I thought Nyla was great. I thought Rio was great. I thought there were some really great near falls, like the roll up that Rio beat Shida with it All Out, that got such a great react. People thought that was the finish. It was great.
I thought this match was fine, all capitals. Mm-hmm. But I can appreciate that the crowd was super, super into it. Nyla did one of my least favorite things in wrestling, which is when you're in a match which seemingly has DQs. How do DQs work in this company? But seemingly has DQs, and she went for a chair anyway, which is especially weird in a title match.
Yeah, it's dumb. At least the putting the chairs on the floor thing, like, I'm fine with that. You can justify that as the referee discretion, but like getting a chair and just trying to hit her with it, especially in the middle of the match, it wasn't like a desperation heel move. It was, she just went under the ring and got a chair for no reason. It was kind of dumb, and we'll talk about kind of dumb with DQs again in a second, but I thought the near falls and all that were really good in this match.
I think it was a fine match, and the crowd really did help bring it up that extra level. It was a good match, and Nyla's flying knee still rules, although I think she did it during the commercial break?
She did. I was going to say, they did a bunch of stuff. Like, there was a really good submission tease during the commercial break. She did the flying knee during the commercial break. If you're watching this match in the US, I think it's a worse match. You miss some good stuff, unless you're squinting very strongly at the box in the corner.
Yeah. A good first match for the women's title. And I like that Rio won. I thought she was going to.
And she should have.
Yeah, she's the best wrestler on the roster so far.
Post-match.
Like, female.
Nyla.
I'm cutting you off every time.
She's worse than this. She's better than the person who saved her, Kenny Omega. Post-match, Nyla Rose attacked her, and Kenny made the save, which I guess that's a relationship they're going to play up, I guess.
I think we'll be building to a Nyla Mox versus Riho Kenny match at some point.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be a good TV match in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being a TV main event at some point.
Which brings us to our TV main event, which was the Elite, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega against Chris Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz. Santana and Ortiz do not have a name at the moment. They're just Santana or Ortiz. But John Mox, they did some stuff. Then John Moxley showed up, attacked Kenny Omega, and that wasn't a DQ for a reason. Like, I don't mind if they establish rules that something is a DQ and something isn't a DQ, but like in wrestling, when a guy attacks somebody in a match, it's a DQ. So if that's not going to be your established set of rules in AEW, you should probably tell the audience beforehand. And if you just decided it's not a DQ for the convenience of the story, that's not particularly great.
But even then, you could have justified it by saying that these two teams have agreed to no disqualification rules tonight, as there's so much there's heat and there's bad blood between them or something. It's a very easy out to make, and they just chose not to do it, seemingly.
The easier out is just have them jump them before the bell.
Yeah. Before we get too far into the match, I actually wanted to get your opinion on the knockoff LAX Titantron and theme.
They even did the helicopter noises.
Yes, I was so, like, as soon as I saw the helicopter, I was like, I need to know Garrett's opinions on this.
And the funny thing is, I never particularly liked the helicopter noises, where they do the helicopter noises and the light things that they did in Impact. But yeah, they brought them over to AEW.
Well, I think we can at least all take some solace in the fact that they were parodying the best TNA theme of all time.
That's true. They should just buy it off TNA. They should just buy the rights to LAX.
I mean, seriously.
I think the logic behind not having him jump him before the match is they maybe might have felt it was a bait and switch on the match, but it was still a bait and switch on the match. They only did a couple of dives before Kenny was dragged away. I will say, the brawl with Moxley was tremendous. The entire angle was great, but it not being a DQ was a strange head scratcher.
Not even just the jumping him, but like the man got put through a glass table, and that's not a disqualification?
It's apparently not.
That spot was amazing.
It was. It looked awesome. And that whole brawl, people went nuts for Moxley. He hit him with does the 30s have a new name? It has a new name, doesn't it?
The pendulum shift.
The pendulum shift through a glass table. They did a glass table spot on the first episode. That's your TV-14 right there, baby. He drove him through a glass table. That match is the hottest match in the company right now. Probably hotter than the Jericho and Cody match.
I also like the small touch of Mox telling Kenny to talk now after he laid him out through the table.
Yeah, and that Kenny promo was phenomenal.
Also, the crowd went insane for Kenny teasing some cleaner stuff.
He did, yeah, he freaking got the mop. He went to mop the floor, and the crowd went, like, just absolutely nuts. It's insane. It's absolutely crazy to see people respond to pro wrestling again.
I think this actual show from start to finish, as a show, wasn't that great, but man, the crowd really brought it up to the next level.
Yeah, there are people on the show that this audience sees as humongous, not just stars, humongous stars, and it does help a great deal.
I actually kind of have a problem with this main event.
Go on.
I was saying this on my Twitter, at Larrikin, before. I don't get what the actual in-ring portion of this match was supposed to be. If you wanted to take Kenny out, that's fine. But then you have some time in the ring where you can establish Pride and Powerful. I'm going to call them PMP. You could establish them as this crazy tag team that are a threat to the Bucks, but really it was just a 3-on-2 beatdown. It did nothing for the team.
Yeah, they were just...
If you saw this team... Yeah, they were just two dudes, and if you were a new fan and you only saw them on TV this time, you wouldn't know anything about them.
And they're in there with the Young Bucks, who they can have an absolutely killer match, and in AEW, they will eventually have an absolutely killer match. I agree with you. I was hoping for more of an establishment of Santana or Ortiz here, other than just being the guy standing next to Jericho.
I thought that was going to be the intention of the match, was to get them over as a top tag team.
I will say, this match, I don't think it was a particularly great match or anything, but like Nick Jackson had a hot tag comeback, which was superb. And I was just like, I can't wait for weekly Young Bucks matches on television. Like Young Bucks against Private Party next week is, I'm not going to say my most anticipated match of the year, but the idea of just the Young Bucks having great matches on TV, I'm in for that. I cannot wait. So that's our AEW main event. The post-match, of course, we've already talked about. Jack Swagger comes out, shows up, runs wild. He does look phenomenal. As I said, I do have the reservations about a WWE mid-character just coasting on in and being the biggest star on the first show. And like Jack Swagger was... He's the kind of WWE mid-character that gives you those kind of concerns, I think, a lot more than anybody else. But on the flip side, he looked great, got a great reaction, and the idea of a motivated Jack Swagger is exciting. We'll see. AEW still has the let it play out benefit for me, so we'll let it play out.
Yeah, they haven't hurt us yet. I have a fun fact for you.
Ooh.
About this show. Did you know that on cagemat.net, this is the second highest rated AEW show so far?
I would have said this is better than Fight for the Fallen, which wasn't particularly good. I preferred Fighter Fest. I would have said it's the second worst, but like, I don't think this is a bad show, but...
It's second only to Double or Nothing, which it is only second to by 0.0 of a point.
Well, people are wrong. Double or Nothing is the best show. I think All Out was better. I think Fighter Fest was probably better, and Fight for the Fallen was worse.
I probably liked this more than All Out. I wasn't super hot on All Out.
I thought All Out was a good, fun wrestling show.
Well, you're wrong.
I'm always wrong. I thought this was a good, breezy wrestling show that was very well paced without being great.
Yep.
Now, on to NXT, which featured the opening match of Adam Cole against Matt Riddle. Adam Cole retained the NXT Championship. And this made me think a lot about the influence of PWG. Because...
I'll have you know that my exact notes say the same thing.
Because, like, obviously, AEW is born out of PWG. Like, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, particularly the Young Bucks, are central entirely to the very existence of PWG. But you watch this opening match, Adam Cole against Matt Riddle, and it's a PWG match. Like, the style-wise, there is a direct line from PWG to NXT. NXT is basically just PWG with stories, or, like, it's almost the evolution of, like, I don't know, 2012 PWG. It just moved to NXT at the time. Because NXT, PWG in 2019 isn't quite the same as this. This is more like PWG from 6-7 years ago. And
When PWG was good and had a good roster.
Yeah, basically. So I don't think it's a hot take. My interesting observation is that PWG in 2019 is to wrestling as ECW was to wrestling in 1998. It's like the influential guiding line now.
Yeah, this was a PWG show, except it was paced out poorer. Yeah, it was paced out poorer.
But we did start with Adam Cole against Matt Riddle. You asked me for my match of the night. It's probably this. I like
this is also my match of the night.
It was a superb wrestling match. They went balls to the wall for 15 minutes.
This is what people, I think, expected the AEW main event to be.
Yeah, and they didn't do it. Like, the AEW, again, they didn't go for a big main event. That's the thing. It's not like they went for a big main event and had a bad match. They went for a solid TV main and then went to the post-match angle, which I think is really interesting because that's not really what I expected out of AEW, and it's what we got in the NXT opener.
I like this match a lot because it did something which I didn't think it was going to be able to. It made me believe that Riddle had a chance of winning.
I didn't.
And and to be fair, it got me in the match, not like when I was going in to watch it. I obviously thought Cole was winning, but there were some moments where I was like, oh, Riddle might... no. So...
Do you want to know what made me not feel like Riddle could win this match?
Mm.
The degree to which they've just absolutely killed the Panama Sunrise. It's just not a believable near fall. It's been FU'd. Everybody kicks out of... Johnny Gargano kicked out of 75 of them, and Riddle kicked out of one, then he hit another, and Riddle wasn't even incapacitated long enough for Adam Cole to hit a knee 2 seconds later. Like, the Panama Sunrise is dead as dead could be. I don't believe it anymore.
The biggest mistake that NXT has made so far is unbanning the flipping pile driver.
Yeah.
And I like the flipping pile driver, but now everyone's doing it on these shows.
And everyone's kicking out of them. That's the problem. Petey Williams would roll in his non-existent grave because he's still alive and wrestling.
Oh, he's definitely very mad about it.
He is. He gets mad on Twitter about it a lot. It's kind of funny.
But yeah, I really liked this match. It was PWG. It was all action. It was great.
This would be a great takeover match. In fact, all takeover matches should be this. They should be 15 minutes instead of this spread over 35.
It was the match to that every other match on this show tried to be.
Yeah. But yeah, the great opener.
And failed at.
Of course, the big note, and I think a much-needed note, Finn Balor returned to NXT after the match, and he had his neck snapped by The Fiend, which sends people down to NXT, apparently. I think NXT badly needs the star power Finn Balor provides.
Desperately needs it.
Like, they have Johnny Gargano and they have Adam Cole, and that's kind of it. And now at least
Ciampa. I'm gonna give credit to Ciampa.
I was gonna get to that. And now they at least have Finn Balor and they're returning to Tommaso Ciampa to give them a big four to build around, as opposed to a big two.
Do you think any other main roster downgrades will happen in the upcoming weeks?
I want to see, like, put Cesaro on the show. Like, he's wrestling in pants and shoes on Raw. He clearly doesn't care. Put it, like, he upon his back, NXT was built. Go give him the rewards and he'd do great.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, seeing Cesaro wrestle in this kind of style would be ideal in comparison to what we see now. But to be fair, we do see that style on the main roster, because the main roster is also just the bastardized version of the PWG style. So who knows?
Yeah. Basically, in when John Cena started doing PWG matches, the entire company was just like, okay, this is what we are now.
Also, just straight up, anyone who thinks NXT is still developmental, like, you can't even have a conversation with anymore.
And the problem is, it can't be. That's the thing. There's certain things that would happen on NXT, certain kinds of matches that are fine on a developmental US or developmental WWE Network show, that you can't really do anymore on a full third brand cable television show. So it's going to be interesting to see how they pivot that, and more importantly, where they put the people that they need to actually put in developmental, because the Largo loop isn't going to be it. Like, that's not going to...
Well, it'll be Evolve once Evolve hits the network.
Do you think so? Do you think they're going to bump that straight, like, into, like, a full kind of NXT UK-style developmental show?
Yeah, when the tiers come out that have been... How long have we been talking about tiers on the network?
75. Longer than the network exists, we've been talking about tiers on the network.
But when those damn tiers come in, I expect Evolve to take the place of original NXT.
When we finally have Progress and ICW and Evolve on the network, which is definitely happening. Sure, it's been happening for 15 years.
I still haven't watched that Evolve show on the network.
Neither have I. It was very good, apparently, too.
A lot of things are apparently very good on the network.
That's true. WUK is a fake show. Velveteen Dream came out and challenged Roderick Strong to a rematch, basically.
I didn't. This was dumb. Man, I didn't like it.
People are going to be very mad at me, I think, on this show, because I don't like Velveteen Dream. I think he's very charismatic, but also very green. And when he's not in there with an opponent who can carry him, he's not particularly good. He's still kind of like a wrestling school wrestler. But when he's in there with someone like Roderick Strong, who could carry me to a 4-star match, he looks good. And he'll be in there with Roderick Strong again, I guess, so he'll look good.
I didn't like the Roderick Strong match. I didn't like this promo. I do like Dream. I don't think we need this much Dream. Is that a hot take to say that we could maybe tone down the Dream?
He was only on the show for a minute.
Yeah, but like, come on.
He is a lot.
It still felt like too much.
NXT is a very loud show.
My eyes hurt watching this.
It's just like, I think it's the theme song, the very aggressive, is it Slipknot theme song?
Yes.
That plays in the background of everything. It's just kind of like permanently loud. And like, just even when the announcers are doing on cameras, you have Mauro shouting and you have that Slipknot theme in the background. And it's just like, just turn it down a little, would you?
Just turn down the yellow.
Yeah. Well, that's the color
it's
of the
very
brand.
Bright.
I think that goes back to NXT or AEW. AEW is, it didn't beat you over the head with a Slipknot theme song every 30 seconds. So I think I'm on board for that.
I like the Dynamite intro.
I like the intro. I don't think the theme song is particularly good. Io Shirai versus Mia Yim in a series of matches on this show that were basically commercial breaks.
Why did this match go so long?
I have no idea. This match was boring. And like, they're setting up Io as the next challenger for Shayna Baszler, I would imagine. I think that's the direction coming out of the show. But they had a match. It was fine. And
it was needlessly long. It was, but like, the long. Actual work within the match was fine.
I believe Mauro said during this match, "More fun than playing games on your phone. We are NXT. We are bad to the bone."
There's times when Mauro does commentary where I think he slips into freestyle poetry.
He just release a rap album, Mauro, and get all this out of your system, and everything will be fine.
To make a great callback, I was watching Bellator, and a little, to my chagrin, I found out that the host of Bellator is one Mauro Ranallo.
Very exciting.
And he was hosting some sort of a wild card draft for the fighters, and I literally groaned and threw my phone across the room.
Like, the thing is, Mauro, when he's like really good, is probably like the best announcer in wrestling. But Mauro has horrible, horrible habits that make him frequently the worst announcer in wrestling. So he goes from being like really good to utterly infuriating, and like sometimes in the same breath.
This could be somewhat like a nostalgic thing, but like when New Japan first went to Access, I loved Mario's commentary.
Mm.
I thought he was great. And that to see where he is now, where it's just every second thing is a meme. They literally mentioned memes in this show.
They did. The words, speaking of memes, came out of Nigel McGuinness's mouth as a segue to some...
By the way, it's speaking of memes, that there was no segue. There was nothing that was in relation to the memes.
No, he was just pivoting away from Mauro's nonsense, basically. but yeah, Io Shirai beat Mia Yim with a moonsault. It was a fine match. Io Shirai's
great.
She is.
That's it.
And her against Shayna Baszler should be good, I guess?
They've had like 15 matches, though.
We got a Tegan Nox video package. She's coming back from injury. She's getting the big motivational comeback from injury story, which should be fun. Which I was like, why didn't they give that to Dakota Kai when she came out last week? And this is why. They're giving it to Tegan Nox.
A pure bias for the Welsh.
Mm.
She's Welsh, right?
I think so, yes.
Cool.
Johnny Gargano beat Shane Thorne in another wrestling match that was boring and relatively just the commercial break.
I'm very upset that you skipped over two major news points in the show.
What did I do?
Which was, you skipped over Big K Nash being in the house.
Oh yeah, which I do kind of like the idea of Hall and Nash being ringside on the first Wednesday Night Wars. That's a nice touch.
And you also skipped over them seemingly putting Belair with the Street Profits.
Oh yeah, well, she's dating one of them, isn't she?
She's married to one of them.
She's married, so yeah, maybe that's just a... she didn't come out with them for the match. Wale did.
No, but they had Wale.
Yes. They traded
Garrett,
off.
Garrett, are you a fan of the Wale?
I'm indifferent to the Wale. Who is Wale? I'm like, this is me exposing my complete pop culture ignorance. But who actually is Wale, other than the guy who just hangs around wrestling occasionally?
He's a hip-hop man.
Okay.
And despite being up with the hip-hop, I have not heard any Wale projects.
I've never heard a single Wale song, and I'm just confused.
You heard Get That Smoke tonight, so...
I did. It was so good.
There's a weird... What is WWE's fascination with Wale? Is it just that, like, he's got some semi-popular relevance, like...
He has some Twitter followers, basically.
Yeah, but so does Zack Ryder, and he's not on the show nearly as much.
Well, AEW, or TNT, whoever paid them, there was a bunch of influencers who promoted AEW last night, and two of them were Austin Aries and Jesse Godders. So they're basically just like, anybody with Twitter followers, please plug our show. So clearly NXT is the same, just getting Wale.
Or maybe Austin Aries and Jesse Godders will be coming into the AEW zone.
People will groan the hell out of Austin Aries showing up, won't they?
But he'll have pretty decent TV matches.
He's
so.
A very good pro wrestler.
For the 3 months that he stays in that company.
Yeah. He's like Loki. Actually, no, he's better than Loki. Loki's kind of bad these days.
So Gargano and Shane Thorne.
Gargano won. Shane Thorne, and same with Mikey Nichols, are two guys who are so good as a tag team and very clearly very boring as singles wrestlers.
How dare you?
It's been a while since I've seen guys who are so clear, and there's nothing wrong with being tag team wrestlers. Tag teams rule, but have been so clearly tag team wrestlers than these two. There's just nothing to them as singles guys.
I was always under the assumption that Shane Thorne was just waiting out his contract, but could this be his allocated 3 month push to help him resign?
Is it a push? He showed up. Johnny Gargano beat him up a couple of weeks ago. Now they're having this match.
He beat Bronson Reed. I'll have you know.
Sure, that's the set him up just to feed him to Johnny.
And DJZ.
Burr, 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 burr.
Burr, 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 burr.
But yeah, Johnny won. The match was, I don't know.
It was fine. A lot of people went crazy over this match.
Did they? I thought the Pete Dunne match and I thought the Io Shirai Mia Yim match were all just kind of there, and like the match felt more commercial than match. It's like they had the start, they went to commercial, they came back and they did a finish, and it was like, it's just to give those people wins. It didn't feel particularly like great matches.
But like they did these matches for like 10 minutes though. They couldn't have just given these people these wins in 5.
That's a problem with this show. And this show in general, I thought this show had a phenomenal opening match and a very good main event. And then a lot of stuff in the middle just felt there.
I thought the match quality in itself was better on this show. Mm-hmm. I just think it was all framed poorly.
Yeah. A match I did like, even though it went through two commercial breaks, is Shayna Baszler against Candice LeRae. I thought this was a very good match, even though I said went through two commercial breaks. So did the main event. I think the show was badly paced, but that's neither here nor there. Shayna Baszler retained, which actually kind of surprised me. I thought they'd do the Candice title change here.
People who have heard my NXT TakeOver takes know that like Shayna's title matches are often my favorite matches on TakeOver, mm-hmm. excluding the Mia Yim match.
Mm-hmm.
So like anytime I get to see Shayna in a couple segment long match with anyone, I'm always going to have a good time. So I really like this match.
She feels different from other people. She wrestles different. She moves different from other people. She feels unique.
Especially on a roster where everyone wrestles very similarly.
Where everyone came from PWG. She doesn't do PWG. She does... It's kind of PWG, I guess, but it's like PWG with holds, I suppose.
PWG with holds. The Catch Wrestling Twitter is going to hate that.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing that's going to make people mad. But yeah, Shayna Baszler, PWG with holds.
The Submission Magician. Well, what was Joey Ryan, the Tentacle Wizard, before Zack Sabre? So
I forgot some upsetting Mauro lines. In the Johnny Gargano-Shane Thorne match, Johnny Gargano has more heart than Valentine's Day, and he is loyal to the soil. And then, a weird one, Shane Thorne is as annoying as autocorrect. Autocorrect is usually helpful.
What is Mauro's life?
I don't know. Getting mad.
Like, does he just find displeasure in everything?
I like my typos.
It adds character.
We have another one. They say is that Siberia is the coldest place on Earth. Nothing is colder than the heart of Shayna Baszler.
Ooh.
Like, I'm going to shit. This is going to be a recurring theme on this podcast because the only way he'll learn is via shame, and he still won't learn. So I will never not call out Mauro lines. In fact, most of my notes on the show were writing down Mauro quotes.
Well, we were in the DMs before, and you asked me, and you told me this, and I recited one from memory.
Yes, we'll talk about that.
One that had stuck with me. Well, I just want to get to like the finish of this match. I really, really liked. Mm-hmm. With Shayna catching her out of the lion's salt and then Candice almost fighting back before succumbing to it. Thought that was really good, and it puts over Candice's plucky underdog character really well.
I think that the pivot for that lion's salt is really, really neat. Like, sometimes it can look contrived where, you know, she... because she's lying to take the lion's salt, and then she switches to being vertical to lock her in the choke. And...
Nah, she just kind of moved and let her fall into it. It was great.
Yeah, it was very seamless. It was a very good finish. I this is one of the few matches that didn't suffer greatly from, despite they did have two commercial breaks, which wasn't great. But it was still a very good match. Kushida against Walters next week. They had a little video package.
Do you think this gets changed to a title match?
Probably not. There's no reason to give. Like, there's no reason to give Kushida an NXT UK title match. And Walters probably winning anyway, so who really cares?
I'm excited for this match, though.
Yeah, it's a cool match. It's the first time Kushida's kind of doing something actually interesting on the NXT roster.
I've seen one match from Kushida since he's come back, or debuted in NXT, rather.
I don't like his NXT haircut.
You don't like the top knot?
No, I'm not a fan of the top knot on Kushida.
Do you like top knots in general?
It varies person to person, but not on Kushida.
Who has the best top knot?
I don't know. I don't usually get mad at Marty's.
Yeah, Marty's best look is definitely the top knot look.
Yeah.
Someone who I'm sure we'll be talking about in like a month.
On NXT.
If NXT is still on Wednesdays.
Or AEW, as you said. Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch. Again, this is just... like, there's nothing wrong with these matches on a technical level. I think on a technical level, they're all good matches. They just feel pointless and meaningless. And when there's three of them on the show that I think kind of feel pointless and meaningless, that really hurts the pacing of that show.
I'm telling you right now, I was personally offended for Danny Burch for getting less time than whatever the fuck that other guy's name was.
I think it was Arturo Ruas. Yeah, that match baffled me. But anyway, that was two weeks ago. Yeah,
you get 15 minutes with him, but Danny Burch gets like 7.
Yeah, Pete Dunne won with the bitter end. I was thinking, what are they going to do with Pete Dunne? They're going to have him feud with Damian Priest, which is a very random, because Damian Priest showed up after the match, the former Punishment Martinez from Ring of Honor, laid him out, and that's your program, apparently, Pete Dunne and Damian Priest.
a great sell from Pete when he took that forearm though.
Yeah.
He died for it. I'm actually looking really forward to this match.
And I do really like Damian Priest's little arrow thing where his name shows up on the Tron. That's cool.
And we have a great Mara quote from this match.
Oh, yes. Damian Priest lives in a sarcophagus of celebrity. What does that even mean?
And this is the one that stuck with me. Because it just seemed so nothing.
Like, what does sarcophagus... Is that suggesting that he is, like... So in a sarcophagus means you're closed off from the world. So he's unknowing of celebrity? Or he's the most famous person in his own sarcophagus?
Or he lives entirely within celebrity?
Again, what does it mean? Mauro was a puzzle to be solved.
Does it mean that Damian Priest is a Twitter?
Whoa.
Yes. Oh, what a baffling line for a baffling man to say.
Yeah. Adam Cole is mad but backstage.
This match will be good.
They'll.
I like this Adam Cole interview.
I like Adam Cole in general. Adam Cole's a good face for this brand. That brings us to the main event. The Undisputed Era defeated the Street Profits after interference from Roderick Strong to retain the NXT Tag Team titles. If you don't know who the Street Profits are, they're the guys who stand around and talk about nothing on Raw.
I think more people know them from NXT at this point.
Like, well, in theory, more people watch Raw than NXT. So, like, more people...
Do they?
Well, yes. We know that 1 million people watched NXT last week and 2.5 million people watched Raw on Monday. So, in theory, in sheer mass of people, more people have seen the Street Profits stand backstage doing nothing than doing anything on NXT. So, technically, more people know them as that.
Again, I really liked this match.
It was a very good match.
It was kind of slow, but it built up well. And the last 5 minutes, I was really into it.
Maybe didn't need two commercial breaks. I'm going on and on about this, but I think it's a real format problem with the show because the Roderick Strong and Velveteen Dream match went through two commercial breaks. It was a 3-segment match. Last week, the Matt Riddle and Killian Dane match went through two commercial breaks. It was a 3-segment match. And this main event, the Undisputed Era against the Street Profits, went through two commercial breaks. It was a 3-segment match. This is a trend in NXT. They're doing three-segment main events. And I don't think I'm a particular fan of 3-segment main events every week. I think if you save them for special occasions, they feel meaningful and feel like big matches. I think the perfect structure for a wrestling television match is 5 minutes on the front, commercial break, then 7 to 10 on the back. I think that's a great wrestling television match. It's the perfect format. And when you do like 5, break 4, break 7, that does take me out of a match. And I think, as you said, everything from the final commercial break to the end of this match was really darn good. And the Street Profits are great. And hopefully they do more than just stand around on Raw. And obviously, Undisputed are one of the best tag teams of the last decade, I guess.
I just think, like, with this match, more so the team, if they do end up going to Raw or SmackDown full-time, where does this tag division go?
Is there any other tag teams on this show?
Not on this show. I think they've kind of been setting up a Keith Lee ACH team.
Mm, you could do,
but they still have to build off Lee and Dijakovic. Forgot halfway through what his name was.
You could do an Imperium match, I guess. One of those two.
Against Red Dragon?
I'm the only thinking of people that are kind of teams on this show, Liam. You could do Breezango.
You have Mustache Mountain that you could bring in.
You do. You can bring in. You could do they should do a full Undisputed Era British Strong Style feud.
Well, yeah, they'll do that on the fake show though.
Don't do that on the fake show. That's a good idea.
I think they're talking about recycling characters in and out from NXT UK to NXT proper. Hopefully, when Imperium does cycle out, we can cycle in Mustache Mountain for a bit.
Yeah, and they can do cool tag matches. Though they've done that feud before, but not on TV. So.
Not on USA Network.
Some more Mauro lines. More chemistry than the periodic table, and the champs are hotter than a Bunsen burner.
Ugh.
And they fit together like Lego, and they hurt like stepping on Lego. Which...
I take back all the negative things I said about JR.
Which, I must add, Mauro shouted that over Nigel McGuinness trying to say something. So that's...
Could you imagine... being Nigel or being Beth and having to work with this?
Because I saw Alan Forel bury him on Twitter recently, and I agree with him that he's a one man show. He's there. He's the Brian Cage of wrestling announcing. He's there to get his shit in and not like respond to the other people.
You know when he's good? When he has one partner and he can throw to that partner for some insight.
Like, say, Josh Barnett.
So what I'm getting at is he is a fighting commentator. Not a wrestling commentator.
So yeah, after a very good main event, we had Tommaso Ciampa return to NXT, come out, go face-to-face with Adam Cole. So now NXT have a pretty good, vibrant, if a small bit stale, because they've already done Ciampa and Gargano. They've already done Cole and Gargano to death. So like not all these matches in their top four are fresh, but they at least have a top four.
Tommaso Ciampa returning was super cool, and it gave me a genuine reaction, because there's few things I like in wrestling more than returns from injuries or drafting shows.
Why drafting shows? I get returns from injuries. They're the undeniable pleasure of any kind of return is the highlight of wrestling.
I think drafting shows come from a nostalgia thing, like because they were so... They were firing in between at some points. So you're just like, whoa, branding, draft. I'm a sucker for management.
And you do enjoy drafting TW games that we never play, so this goes to a deeper aspect of your personality.
I demand that this be cut from the final product.
Never. So that is NXT. That is AEW. I think we agree on our match of the week. It's Riddle against Adam Cole, baby.
By far the match of the week for me.
Which was the better show? As I said, the most important part of this podcast is picking a winner, and every week we'll add up the winners, and then the overall winner, whenever this bad boy, this war comes to an end, will be the winner of the Wednesday Night Wars. Who'd you pick as your winner?
I'm giving it to NXT by a smidgen.
See,
by a smidgen.
See, I'm the other way around. It's AEW by a smidgen, because I think NXT had better wrestling, NXT had better wrestling, but was much worse paced, and AEW had worse wrestling, but was much better paced. And I'll always take the better paced show.
Yeah, they were so neck and neck with me, but I like I said, the Ciampa thing and the Devitt return was like two big moments, and I like that shit. What can I say?
Yeah. So, which means we didn't decide. So it goes to the Twitter poll, Liam. We've turned over which show wins to democracy.
Oh no! What a foolish endeavor.
With 646 votes, AEW was the fan favorite, 67-33. So, based on democracy, AEW is the winner of week one.
Like I said, not angry at this result at all. Both shows were pretty dead on.
Mm. It was like, this is so exciting that like just because I'll probably watch AEW live most nights because that's on Fight, and I don't think I have any means to technically watch NXT live, so AEW will probably get my live viewing more often than NXT just based on accessibility. But it's just exciting to watch like the Twitter timeline last night, as I think more people were watching AEW than NXT, but it's cool just to see a bunch of people watching two wrestling shows at once with big things happening on both shows, and it's wrestling is cool again.
It's a fun time to be watching the wrestling.
Hmm.
I will admit though, my timeline was very little on NXT discussion.
I would have said mine was like 75-25, maybe a little more favorable to AEW.
Mine would have been sneaking closer to 80-20. And like, I think the Voices of Wrestling Twitter account was talking about it.
Yeah, they were. And in fact, I get people like NXT, but I really don't understand how people would watch NXT over AEW last night. Just the historic
stuff. That would have astounded me, yeah.
Fair enough how it plays out over the weeks and who has better shows, but like, last night was the first show of AEW on TNT. This is a big deal. But AEW wins week one. 2-1. Democracy rules. You seem very amused by this.
I just imagined an Oni Rules shirt, but it's just democracy rules.
Yeah, with all caps, just him shouting on Twitter.
Yes. Democracy rules.
All right, that is episode one. I hope you enjoyed it after episode zero. We'll be back every Thursday. I'll aim to get this up every Thursday at around 11 a.m. Eastern time, maybe a little earlier, hopefully. So you should have it in your feed every Thursday morning sometime. Liam, before we go, where can people find you on the internet?
If you really want to, you can follow me on @larrikin, LARRIKN, but I recommend that you don't because I suck. Also, I promise to be less sick next week.
You were pretty fine. You only nearly died like once or twice.
Yeah, that was all the times that got through the mic.
Sure. You find me at GarKidney. You can find the podcast at WarGamesPod, where I usually wait an hour until after one airs so that people aren't just voting based on the one they just watched. But people will probably still do that anyway. But hopefully it makes them less likely to vote on the one they just watched instead of both of them. But I also want to put it up so we can have it at least. I'm surprised 646 votes. I was almost worried it wouldn't get any votes. But that poll will be up an hour after both these shows air every Wednesday night, I guess. And you can vote in it. And you can determine who is the winner, as you did this week. Because democracy, Liam.
Gotta love it. That's our tagline.
You gotta love it. Otherwise,
gotta love democracy.
We'll come for you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.